Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. It's Friday, May 6th, 2022. Today, as we do each week, we check in with Publishers Weekly on news from the world of books and publishing. Andrew Albanese, PW senior writer, joins me with his reporting and editorial analysis. Welcome back to the program, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So last week, Andrew, you reported that U.S. trade book sales were holding up well through Easter, even as many expected a gradual fall from the heights of the pandemic period. This week, sales data arrived for the week after Easter, and the levels were way underwater.
Yeah, so at first glance, the week after Easter was a bloodbath for book sales. NPD BookScan reports that volume was down 24% from the previous week. But as the excellent NPD BookScan analyst Kristen McLean reports, it's all perfectly normal. The week after Easter always sees a significant drop, usually of more than 20%, and this year was just no exception. So perfectly normal, but in a bit of good news, book sales for 2022 were 10% over the same week in 2019, the pre-pandemic week, which also happened to be an Easter week in 2019. So that makes for a tidy comparison. So overall, if you're keeping score at home, the U.S. book market is now down about 7% up through April. And that's a difference from between 2021 sales, which, of course, were very strong. And we're going to have another key indicator coming up soon about how this year is shaking up for publishers with Mother's Day sales. But I'm going to hold on to my position, which is that given the historically strong 2021 sales, being down just 7% from that high perch is a tremendous achievement, especially considering the inflation and other economic headwinds publishers are facing.
Well, if a 7% decline qualifies as a good performance, Andrew, then the news from Simon & Schuster this week really is outstanding. That publisher delivered some eye-popping first quarter results this week.
Yeah, eye-popping for sure. Revenue at Simon & Schuster rose 17% in the first quarter, which ended March 31st, and operating income soared, get ready for this, an astounding 85% in the period. All of the company's divisions posted double-digit increases in the quarter, led by the International Group, where they are certainly popping champagne corks. Sales were up 30%. Children's division was up by 16%, and that was driven by Simon & Schuster's growing list of graphic novels. Simon & Schuster is, of course, publishers of the great Jason Reynolds and Stuart Gibbs. And the news comes after, you know, other publishers, too, are reporting strong first quarter sales. Hachette reported a more modest increase, but an increase nonetheless in the first quarter. And Sourcebooks reported record first quarter results. Scholastic and Cordo, I believe, also reported strong numbers recently. And look, we keep waiting for this fairy tale run of sales growth to take this, you know, sort of dark turn. But so far, there's a lot to be encouraged about. And again, while publishers recognize that 2021, that year in sales, really set a high bar, and there are some very real challenges facing not just publishing, but all businesses as we barrel into this post-pandemic economy, I think Simon & Schuster's results suggest that there really is room for optimism when it comes to the book business.
In his latest analyst call, Simon & Schuster CEO Jonathan Karp offered his take on those trends. What did he say?
Sure. And you can read all about those remarks from John Karp and SNS's results on the Publishers Weekly website. I should just put that out there. But Karp cited a number of trends that other publishers are also seeing, the most obvious of which is the continued growing even strength of backlist sales, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. But Karp said that backlist sales are being helped in part by what he called the book talk phenomenon, which he credited with keeping books like It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover and The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid both selling in big numbers. Of course, we've said this before, for the major publishers, this is now a hits-driven business. And to that end, frontlist releases like The Candy House by Jennifer Egan, Life Force by Tony Robbins, and Freezing Order by Bill Browder posted good sales for Simon & Schuster. And Karp said that two new books have him optimistic about what's coming up in the current quarter. These include A.F. Stedman's Skandar and the Unicorn Thief, which John Karp has pegged as being something he believes will be a huge hit. And which launched with a 250,000 copy first printing. And of course, This Will Not Pass by Jonathan Martin and Alexander Burns, which hit shelves last week. And we've all heard those recordings that book is based on, of House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy lying, I guess you'd say, about their views of Trump's actions in the January 6th insurrection. And get ready for this too, because later this month, Simon & Schuster is publishing a book by Kellyanne Conway, which I think many of us will want to shelve in the fiction section. But I want to go back and touch on backlist sales for a moment, because it's something we've talked about a lot over the last 2 years, the strength of backlist sales. And what we're seeing is that backlist is continuing to lead the way. And in fact, some publishers say they are now seeing backlist sales account for as much as 70% of their sales. And that's great. But at the same point, this story is going to become something less about the strength of backlist sales and more a question about what's going on with the frontlist sales. So I'm just putting a marker out there now as to where this might all be going. And finally, you know, one final observation here. Publishers do appear to have refined some of their processes and some of their work. You know, we're seeing lower returns, which started during the pandemic. And Carb said that, you know, refinements like things that SNS did to make its metadata better has also helped the company improve its sell-through and boosted the bottom line. And I think that's going to be doubly important during this period of inflation and printing crunch and paper shortages and other supply chain challenges. Carp said Simon & Schuster already has had to move some of his third quarter titles for this year into the fourth quarter to make sure they'll be available. But overall, he said he's thrilled that Simon & Schuster has, and I'll quote him here, defied gravity thus far. And he remains very optimistic about the rest of 2022. But Simon & Schuster's results suggest that there's a lot to pay attention to as we head into the summer for a book business that, you know, really kind of hit another gear in 2021 and hopes to keep rolling in 2022. And of course, at some point this year, we're going to learn the fate about Simon & Schuster and Penguin Random House's merger.
This week, Macmillan, another member of the exclusive Big Five Club of Top Publishers, announced new leadership for the second time in 2 years.
That's right. Yeah. Don Weisberg, who joined Macmillan back in, I think it was in January of 2016, as president of Macmillan Publishers and was promoted to CEO last year with the sudden departure of John Sargent, has announced that he's going to step down at the end of 2022. John Yagit has been named Weisberg's successor. He will be the new CEO of Macmillan Publishers in 2023. So Weisberg said there was, you know, really no story there. It was simply time for a handoff. He's a veteran of the publishing industry. I guess it's time to move on to do other things or maybe enjoy retirement. Pointing to 2 years of record growth and profit improvements in Macmillan's operations, Weisberg also pointed out to expansions in the company's diversity initiatives. So yeah, time to step aside, I guess. Weisberg and Yagid said that they both expect that transition to be seamless as they've worked together for years now. Yagid joined Macmillan in 2011 as president of Macmillan Children's Publishing Group. And while acknowledging that there are some challenges ahead, supply chain thing, printing crunches, etc., he sounded very bullish for the future. In fact, he predicted that publishing in general will outperform the economy in 2022, and he pledged that under his stewardship, the Macmillan would continue to evolve as well.
And finally, the PW-produced U.S. Book Show is coming to small screens everywhere later this month. This week, PW announced a timely keynote speaker, Ukrainian author Andrei Kirkov.
Yeah, this is really great news, I think, right? Andrei Kirkov is a renowned Ukrainian author, and he's president of Pen Ukraine, and he's going to be giving the opening keynote at this year's U.S. Book Show, which is our second annual online book fair. Kirkov will be in conversation with my colleague, Ed Nwaka, and he will be discussing, you know, what you'd expect him to be discussing right now, writing and publishing in a time of war. I should just say that the 2022 U.S. Book Show is going to run online from May 23rd to 26th. You can check out information on the PW website about that. And Kirkov's talk, which will be in English, I should say, will take place on May 24th at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Kirkov writes in Russian. He was born near Leningrad in 1961, but he was raised from the age of two in Ukraine. His first books were self-published, and he garnered hundreds of rejections before he finally found a home in the traditional publishing world. And he really became known to international media as sort of a commentator and a journalist, resulting in his book called The Ukraine Diaries. And until recently, he lived in Kyiv with his family. And he is now living somewhere outside of Kyiv as this brutal Russian invasion continues. So next week, we'll talk a little bit more about what else is going on for the U.S. Book Show. I'm pretty excited about that. But do mark your calendars. Don't miss Andrei Kirkov on May 24th at 10:30 a.m. And after that, you can join me for my day-long Libraries Are Essential program, where I, too, am going to have a pretty special keynote speaker, U.S. Congressman Jamie Raskin. Again, won't give away too much here. We'll talk more about that program next week, but I'm really excited for this year's U.S. Book Show.
Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, thanks for joining me on the program.
My pleasure, as always.
Coming up on the next podcast from CCC, publishers continue to struggle with pandemic-related supply chain stresses from printing to distribution, but they remain committed to supporting sustainability efforts, says Book Industry Study Group Executive Director Brian O'Leary. Scaling up print-on-demand capacity even makes for a win-win scenario, he explains.
More than half of all physical books bought in the United States were purchased online. That is generally a more efficient channel when it comes to things like returns and sell-through. So you're seeing the numbers overall come down. That's beneficial not only for publishers who see more books sold relative to those that are printed, also good for the environment because we're not finding ourselves with excess inventory or as much excess inventory at the end of the process.
A supply chain checkup for publishers coming on the next CCC podcast. Our producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. You can subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts, and please do follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening to this Velocity of Content podcast from CCC.